Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Verses 1 through 20, Luke chapter 2. In continuing in Luke chapter 2, picking up at verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. Verses 41 to 52, Luke chapter 2. Lord, thank you once again for the wonderful and the blessed and grace-filled stories that make up the Christmas story. And thank you for the wisdom, the insight, the faith lessons, the grace and the encouragement that comes as we take the time to read and meditate on these wonderful and powerful accounts of the time in which you came into the world as our Lord and Savior. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be wise enough to spend lots of time reading and meditating on these wonderful passages and learning and growing as we do just that, individually and as families in the Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful history of your steadfast love. Thank you so much that the Israelites looked forward to a Savior for so long, and they kept such a beautiful record of all the ways you provided for them and all the promises that you had coming. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can all look to Jesus now as our Savior. And thank you so much for the Christmas season as we can look to the birth of Jesus and all that came after that. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, as we often do, we like to share articles from the AFA Stand that are meant to be used as discipleship articles in your own walk with the Lord, but also tools you can use for the discipleship of your family and tools that you can forward and send by way of email to fellow church members, friends, co-workers, saved and unsaved individuals as well. This article is entitled, A Discipleship Message to Parents for Christmas. Again, the title, A Discipleship Message for Parents to Parents for Christmas. Matthew 2, verse 2, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 11, For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. During the Christmas season or Advent, there are certain discipleship activities that families are very wise to do as families. These activities can help us as families to grow in our understanding of the blessed messages of the Christmas narratives. Families should make it a high priority to read through the nativity stories a number of times during the Christmas season. Those narratives are Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Why is this so important? In order for anyone to really understand the message and meaning of Christmas, Christ needs to be at the center of our understanding of all of it. The word Christmas means Christian Mass or Christ's Mass. The term Christmas derives from the Roman Catholic Church's term for the Mass of Christ. Christmas is the celebration of God's greatest gift, Christ the Lord, as he came into the world as a baby long ago. Matthew and Luke tell us of the many glorious events that happened when Christ first came into the world as a little baby boy. We live in a world where people get excited and passionate about many things. People get very excited about entertainment, sports, etc. And sometimes so many of the things people get so passionate about really are not that important at all. The Word of God helps us see things in life that are genuinely worth getting excited about. The wise men in Matthew chapter 2 were full of joy and excitement over having the opportunity to come and find Christ and worship him. And they were excited about giving the prophetic gifts they gave to him. Gabriel was excited to bring the good news that he brought to Zechariah and Mary. He appeared to be very excited to let Zechariah know that he and his wife, Elizabeth, would have a baby who would be the forerunner for the Messiah. He also seemed very excited to bring the news to Mary that she would be the mother of the Messiah. The messenger angels of Luke chapter 2, who let shepherds know that Christ has been born, were very excited about the coming of Christ into the world. They worshiped and praised God over the news. Simeon and Anna, also in Luke chapter 2, were excited, joyful, and worshipful over seeing and learning of the Messiah's coming into the world. Parents, having your children read about the people, places, and events of Christmas, as well as the excitement and passion that they reveal, is edifying and fruitful. Reading the Christmas narratives is much more fruitful and impacting and encouraging than probably many people realize. May all followers of Christ become more and more passionate about Christ and his kingdom. May we strive daily to become more committed to his will and his priorities in all areas of our lives. Christmas is not about shopping, getting and giving presents, going to parties, Santa Claus, and reindeer. For every family, for every person, for all people, this is very true. Christmas is Jesus. Again, the title of the article, A Discipleship Message to Parents for Christmas. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. We are very honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Donna Van Leer. She's a best-selling author, and today we're going to be looking at one of her books. The book is entitled Looking for Christmas. Donna, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Pastor Joseph?
Doing really, really good. Thank you for taking the time to join us. And I want to ask if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us a little bit more about you. And then right after that, we would want to dive right in and talk about the book, Looking for Christmas.
Sure. Yes. Well, I've been an author for several years now. My first novel that I wrote was called The Christmas Shoes. And that book actually was picked up by CBS Television and became a movie. And then I wrote The Christmas Blessing that also became a movie for CBS. So I wrote a series of Christmas novels, but I've also written a lot of nonfiction as well. I wrote the biography of Space Shuttle Columbia Commander Rick Husband that was called High Calling. And I actually wrote a trilogy that was part fiction, but the last third of each of the trilogy books was biblical teaching. And I relate that to what Jesus calls the end of the age, so the last days. And so, again, those three books, it was the time of Jacob's trouble. It starts off, again, it's a fiction story, but then the last third, the readers are able to read from Scripture where I actually took a lot of the things from the book. So that was the time of Jacob's trouble, the day of Ezekiel's hope, and Daniel's final week, and that was a trilogy. So that was a little different because that was a hybrid of fiction and nonfiction together. But this book is clearly nonfiction, Looking for Christmas, A Search for the Joy and Hope of the Nativity.
Well, just before we dive into talking about the book Looking for Christmas, would you take time now to pray for listeners that they would have ears to hear whatever the Holy Spirit wants to say to them through the message and messages of your book and this through this broadcast?
Yes, Father, we know from your word that love comes from you. That's what the Bible says. Love comes from the Father. And love came down in the form of this baby. Jesus took the form of man. He grew up and lived right here among people so that he could seek and save the lost. That was his Father's business. That's what he did. It was to seek and save the lost. And that's what our business is all about, too, as ambassadors of Christ, is to seek out and to save the lost and to make heaven crowded. So that is our goal. That's our purpose as believers, is to tell others about you, and that your light would so shine within us that we would be able to give account of the hope and the joy that is inside of us for all those who look at our lives and say, what's different? What's different about her? What's different about him? So I just pray right now for everyone who's listening and they're seeking for something. They know that something isn't right within them. Something has always been stirring within them because they know there's that unsettled place, that they will hear your voice calling to them. They will hear you knocking on their door of their heart and inviting them in. And I pray that whatever Pastor Joseph says or I say, that we will have the words to say to those who need you and will draw them to you. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I do thank you for every person that's a part of our listening family, Father. Anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of each of us so that we'll be abundantly receptive to your word and your will and your spirit and all that you share with us through the broadcast today. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is Donna Van Leer. She's the author of a number of books, including the one we're talking about today, Looking for Christmas. We'll be right back.
far together, sharing the joy, Emmanuel. He has come to dwell.
Music of Michael W. Smith with Christmas Time. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Donna Van Leer. She's a best-selling author, and today we're specifically going to be discussing her book entitled Looking for Christmas. So, Donna, as we dive right in at this time, can you share with the listeners what inspired you to write Looking for Christmas, and how would you say that it's different from other Christmas novels you've written, such as The Christmas Shoes?
Sure. Well, Looking for Christmas is not a novel at all, and I really wanted to take the readers deep into the nativity story. I wanted us to look at Mary and look at Joseph, look at the shepherds and Zechariah and Elizabeth, look at all the people involved in this magnificent account, and the places that were involved as well. And I really wanted to highlight how truly common and ordinary these people were, and how God used them in his extraordinary story, and that he still does that today for everyone who feels like an outcast, they feel like an outsider, they feel like they're just living life on the margins, that God has a purpose and a plan, and he still uses the completely ordinary person in his extraordinary story. And each one of the people in the nativity account reflects that, all the way from Mary to the shepherds, and we see all of them living completely ordinary lives. The shepherds themselves, they couldn't even go in the temple. They couldn't go. They couldn't testify in court. That's how far they were on the bottom rung of society's ladder. And the fact that Jesus not only the Lord not only broke through with an angelic visitation to them out on that hillside after 400 years of silence, but also God's glory hadn't been revealed in 400 years. And who did he reveal it to? He revealed it to those shepherds out on that hillside guarding the sheep that would be used for sacrifice in the temple. So it's just an amazing account, as you know, Pastor Joseph, how God used these truly common people in his extraordinary story. And most of them actually just kind of, like wandered off into history. They weren't heard from again. After that account where Jesus was 12 years old and Mary and Joseph lost him when they were coming back from Passover, well, we don't hear anything else from Joseph. We don't hear anything else from Zechariah and Elizabeth. This is their one and only account. And we don't hear anything else about the shepherds or the Magi. So all of these people, they just really kind of like filtered out into history. God used them for a specific purpose at that specific time, just like he does each of us.
Mm. Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, I think often when we think of the Word of God, we think of the Bible, we think of people as being very, very special. And in many ways, they are special. But on the other hand, they're special in the sense that everyone's special, made in the image of God. But yes, the fact is that very ordinary people who served an extraordinary God. And so thank you for making that very important point. So, well, tell me too, like, I think of this too, you know, often we think of the Christmas story as being a warm, lovely story full of peace, joy, and grace, and it is, yet at the same time, the world then was in so many ways a harsh, cruel, and dangerous world, a world where a foreign army occupied Israel, kings and nations would kill babies in large numbers, and jealousy and disloyalty. So it was a tough world, and it's a lot like the world today as well. So your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it totally is. And, you know, we always hear, you know, the light of Christ shines in the darkness, and it does. But as we look at the world around us, Joseph, it can be overwhelming at times. Mm-hmm. You know, you can kind of doom scroll on your phone and you can find one horrible headline after another. But our reality is, the truth is that Jesus reigns, and the truth is that he will be coming back again someday. And I even talk about it in Looking for Christmas, how the stage was set, because the Bible says at the right time, God sent his son born of a woman. Mm-hmm. And God set that stage. There were 250,000 miles of roads that the Roman Empire had built, meaning that when Jesus grew up, he and his disciples, they could travel those roads much easier than traveling over the land prior to those roads. Mm-hmm. And that was made easier because God set that stage. Also, it was a time of peace in the Roman Empire. Yes, they occupied, they conquered warring factions, but they actually allowed them to go ahead and worship their own gods. Rome said, it's okay, you don't have to worship our gods, you just pay us a tax. So it was a very unusual time, and Jesus was born at that very particular time. And right now, we see everything going on in our world, and we think, oh, what else is going to happen today? You know, what is the news headline going to read like today? But we have to remind ourselves that God is setting the stage. God has everything under control, and just like he sent Jesus the first time at the right time, he will send Jesus again at the right time. He will send him the second time, right? So we just have to remind ourselves of that God is setting the stage. Jesus will be coming back. God is still in control, and Jesus is still on his throne.
Amen. Amen. Well, specifically, your title, Looking for Christmas, kind of suggests that people have sort of lost what Christmas is or what it's about as well. Could you kind of elaborate on why you chose the title you did?
Yeah, I even started off the first chapter with the scene from the Peanuts Christmas special, Charlie Brown Christmas, where Charlie Brown is saying to Linus, you know I'm supposed to be, you know, in the mood for Christmas, but, you know, it just doesn't feel right. I'm actually downright depressed, is what he says. And I think that's a lot of people. It's that we've kind of lost sight of Christmas because it's such a busy time of year, and we can get sucked into all the busyness of it. We can get sucked into the buying of the presents and the shopping and the making of the meal, which is great fun. I love it as well. But when it becomes this, our sole focus, and we just get wrapped up into this heart of busyness, and we don't take time to sit and ponder these things in our heart like Mary did. But the Bible says she pondered these things. She treasured up all these things in her heart. Mm-hmm. And when we don't take the time to do that, we just get caught in this vortex. I mean, we're just whirling around. And before we know it, the month is gone. Mm-hmm. And we really haven't taken the time to sit and even read through the Nativity account. And you read much of it just this morning. And we don't take the time to do that and to really discuss it with our kids or with our family, the reason that we celebrate. And I do think that a lot of people genuinely look for Christmas because the Bible says God has put eternity in our hearts. He set eternity right there in our hearts. So there's that place in our heart that is longing for eternity. Mm-hmm. And many people, so much of the feelings of despondency at Christmas, because they don't have that sense of home, they don't have that sense of belonging, that sense of love that comes from the Father. And what they truly need, they need that message of Christmas, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, that Jesus is their Savior. For unto us a child is born, his name is Jesus, he is the Savior of the world. And so a lot of people are longing for that, and they may not even know that they're searching for that. But deep down, that's what they're searching for.
That's right. That is so true. So true. Well, how would you say, how can Christians today connect with the characters that make up the Christmas story, the wise men and the shepherds and all? How can they connect with them, even though those people lived in a culture many, many, many years ago that's so different from ours?
Yeah, but they were like us. They were common, ordinary people living in their own small corner of the world, you know, just minding their own business. But but all of them, Mary and Joseph, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were living lives of such obedience and faithfulness. Even Joseph, every time an angel visited him in a dream, he never questioned it. He never got up and said, "Well, what was that all about? Did I eat some bad hummus last night? What in the world? That is so weird." He didn't question it. He got up and he acted out in obedience every single time. Even Mary, at her young age, she did ask questions. She was like, "Well, how in the world can this be?" Mm-hmm. And the angel assured her that she was chosen by God to carry his son. And the fact that she put her yes on the table, even though she was so very young, because archaeological records prove that girls were betrothed as young as 12 in that era. So Mary could have been 12, 13, 14. We don't know. We know she was young. And for her to say, "Okay, I'm all in," and she walked forward in obedience. The same with Zechariah and Elizabeth, this elderly couple. They've been praying for decades for a child. They were so old, they couldn't have a child, that they kept praying for a child and that the Lord granted their petition. And they just walked in such faithful obedience. And that's what the Lord calls all of us to. In your own little small corner of the world that you're living in, on your street, in your home, in your workplace, just to live lives of faithful obedience. Just do your thing. You know, everybody's got your thing. You've got your spiritual gift. You do it. You pour it out into people. You've got your talent. You've got your skill. You do it all for the glory of the Lord. You just keep your head down. You keep doing the work and let your light so shine before men, because the light of Christ lives within you. If Jesus is your Savior, his light is inside of you. And you know, that does remind me, because they said that, is that the Magi, it said that they followed his star. They followed his star. That's what they called it. And took them many months. Did it take a year? Did they take 18 months? We don't know. It took them a long time to get there, but they followed his star. And I love that old saying, wise men still seek him, because there's so much truth in that. If you want to find Jesus, he's right there. He can be found. He's just a prayer away. He's right there in the pages of your Bible, which is a living and active word. It's not a dead word. It's living and active. And so wise men still seek him. And that's what we are called to do. Keep seeking God's face every single day, just like all of these people in this account did.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, as you just alluded so beautifully to this fact, that one of the powerful faith lessons we see throughout the Christmas story is there were believers who heard from God and they obeyed. They heard his word and they obeyed. And that's what every believer all over the world is called to hear the word of God and do what we're told. And how important it is that we as believers take that serious, that, Lord, we just thank you for the fact that just as the individuals that make up the Christmas story were called of you to help carry out your work and your will in their time, Lord, we too are called to do the same kind of thing. Stir us to become a people who are listening to your word and your spirit and committed to being obedient. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Donna Van Leer. She's the author of Looking for Christmas. We'll be right back.
There's a man who stands in the cold wind tonight, and he greets everyone passing by with a smile and a ringing bell. And the song that he's playing is his own way of saying love is here. It's the music of Christmas. And there's a lady who sits all alone with her thoughts and the memories of all that she's lost. When she hears a sound at her door and the song comes to find her as a gentle reminder, love is here. It's the music of Christmas. So this song is with your heart, and you will hear a song in the laughter of a child.
Music of Stephen Curtis Chapman with the Music of Christmas. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Donna Van Leer. She's the author of the book Looking for Christmas. Donna, would you share with our listeners, if they wanted to get a copy of your book, tell them how they can do that?
Sure. It's available at all online stores like Amazon, Christian booksellers, Barnes & Noble. If you do have a brick-and-mortar store in your town, I know that's a little more difficult these days, but places like Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, you know, they do carry it, or, you know, your local store can order it. And I should also mention, I did a podcast for the book, Pastor Joseph. I actually invited several guests to be on there with me, and we look even deeper into Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth, and that podcast is called Looking for Christmas, mm-hmm. or it's under my name, Donna Van Leer, and it's on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts. So hopefully your listeners can check that out as well and enjoy it.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Now, you just alluded to Mary and Joseph. You know, would you share from your perspective, who were Mary and Joseph, and why is their ancestry such an important part of the Christmas story?
Well, that ancestry has to come from that line of David, and they do. And I actually, my pastor was telling me this, and I wish I could, you know, have all the facts in my head, but I don't. But when you narrow it down to the place of Nazareth and how big it would have been at that time, maybe there would have been two girls that fit the bill, you know, for Mary. But it had to come down to that line of David, mm-hmm. and she was it. She was the one. And we often think that, okay, well, Mary was chosen because that's obvious. The angel told her that. But, you know, Joseph was chosen, too, mm-hmm. for that. He also came from that line mm-hmm. of David, and he was chosen to be her spouse. And the fact that they would have lived their lives with scorn for the rest of their lives, oh, yeah, right. Pregnant with by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, nobody believes that, Mary. You know, people would have looked down their noses at them for the rest of their lives. Joseph knew exactly what he was getting into. Mary knew what she was getting into, and they both agreed to it. I mean, at first, Joseph was going to, they'd been betrothed, which meant that they said their vows, but they hadn't officially been married. So he could divorce her quietly, but after the angel visited him in the dream, again, he just got up and he acted out in obedience and faithfulness. And so, you know, he was chosen as well because the Lord had to know Joseph can handle it. He can do this hard thing because it's going to be a hard thing. And he's the one, he can raise my child. He can do it. He can teach him how to be a carpenter. He can teach him the Holy Scriptures. And we know that Joseph had to be a good man because two of his sons were early church leaders. Mm-hmm. So we know that he brought his kids up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. He taught them the word from the time they were, itty bitty. And so these were people clearly chosen by God, these young people. I don't buy into the fact that Joseph was old. I know a lot of people say that, oh, Joseph was old. How do you know that? I truly believe he was young. People died young in that era. The average age was 25 because, you know, a simple cut on the finger, they could die. There was no, there weren't antibiotics. There wasn't anything to stop infection. So we know he had at least seven children from Scripture because Jesus had four brothers. There was Jesus, that was five. And in one Scripture, it says your brothers and your four brothers and your sisters. Well, sisters is plural. That's at least two. There could have been more. So this was, he and Mary had a large family. And we know they had to just be faithful and obedient their entire lives.
Well, I want to ask you this, too. The humble circumstances of Jesus' birth, what does that tell us about God's character and intentions? You know, Jesus being born basically in a barn. You know, tell us about that.
Yes. I love that you asked that, because how could we ever identify with someone who came as a celebrity, who came with a silver spoon in his mouth, who was born in a palace, you know, in Jerusalem? How could we ever identify with that person as a savior? We couldn't. Jesus came as an outcast. He and his parents were outcasts. And that in itself draws in the outcast. It's like, okay, I can identify with that because I feel like a nobody. I feel so ordinary and commonplace. I can identify with you. And, you know, even in Scripture says, you know, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus, he just, he didn't own a home. He didn't own, you know, probably didn't even have a donkey, you know, to ride on the back of. He lived a very common life, just like so many of us. We live our common lives. And it's just, what an awesome Father we have to send Jesus in such a way, in such a humble way, that it would be the shepherds who would be the first who would bow down and see the King of Kings. Shepherds were everybody just, you know, they held them in disdain. But but the Father said, come on, go worship my son, go see him. And the fact that the Magi were the first Gentiles. So there were Gentiles and Jews in this nativity account that were bowing down and worshiping the King of Kings.
You know, you're touching on so many different things, Donna, that are powerful parts of the Christmas story, and it's good for us to take time, again, as you mentioned, to think and ponder on them. I think of this recently. I was ministering to a large group of elementary kids, and I asked them about where do you think Jesus was born, in a house, a hospital, a house, or a barn, and the biggest answer was hospital. Some said house, but nobody said barn. And to think, the greatest king in the universe chose to be born in a barn. Yet, as you so beautifully drew out, that's a wonderful way to convey humility. You know, it's hard to imagine the idea of any of us being born in a barn, but that's what Jesus chose. It wasn't an accident. That's clearly what he chose. So, wonderful parts of the Christmas story. How would you say joy shapes the Christmas story and its role in the lives of believers?
Well, because our joy was born in that manger. Our hope was born in that manger. Our peace. You know, Isaiah said that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So our peace was born in that manger. Our salvation was born in that manger. And at Christmas time, boy, if we can't have joy in our hearts, Pastor Joseph, when can we have it? Because this is this is our time of year. I said just in an interview a couple of days ago, you know, when we walk into stores mm-hmm. and we hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing or Joy to the World, those are our songs mm-hmm. that are being played. You know, they're playing our songs. Any other time, you are not hearing songs about Christ played in secular stores. You're just not hearing it. Mm-hmm. So what a time to be joy-filled. And I don't say that flippantly at all, because my mom died in October, and I know there are people who are going through difficult circumstances because Christmas is going to be different this year, either because of the death of someone and there's that empty place at the table, or there's an estrangement, there's a separation, there's a divorce, there is something that's happened, and I know that Christmas is difficult, but I do know that a Savior has been born for us. He is Christ the Lord, and we can still celebrate. We can still communicate with, you know, relatives and friends from around the world. We can still bow our knees and worship the one true King of Kings, mm-hmm. and we can still sing and rejoice because Jesus has been born.
That's right. That's right. Donna, our time is just about gone. I want to ask, would you take time now to pray for the church to really strive as the church and to encourage individuals to really go after what you're speaking of here, pursuing a greater revelation of who Jesus is as we look into the Christmas story? Would you pray for the church in that regard?
Mm. Father, I just pray that every single one of us would seek your face. And we would seek a greater revelation of who you are. I just pray for a pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all those who are listening right now, that the joy of the Lord would well up inside each one of us, that the light of Christ would be so bright that people would look at us and wonder what it is about us. And Father, I pray that joy would bubble over into people's lives, and that we would be able to touch lives with the heart of Jesus, because Jesus, you came to seek and save the lost. So I pray, give each and every one of us that mission statement inside of our hearts. We want others to come to Christ. We want to make heaven crowded. Show us how to do that. Give us conversations with people. When we open our mouths, I pray that our mouths would be filled with your words and that we would know when to keep our mouths closed in situations as well. But I just pray that we would be encouragers, that we would inspire, that we would incite belief. I pray that we would provoke people to jealousy, that they will want what we have. That's what it says in Scripture, that the Jews will be provoked to jealousy. And I pray that for any unbeliever, that they'll be provoked to jealousy to have what we have, that light of Christ, the joy of Jesus. So I pray it will swell up in our hearts and our lives and bubble over to everyone we meet. Use us in ways we never imagined. We are ordinary people, but we want to be used in your extraordinary story for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, and as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, we'd like to invite you to make that step and ask him to come into your heart to become your Lord and Savior. If you want to make that step, would you now from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. I'm sorry for all those wrong things I've done, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for all those wrongs. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Donna, thank you so much for being with us. Tell our listeners one more time if they'd like to get a copy of your book, Looking for Christmas, how to do that.
Yeah, you can check it out at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian booksellers, anywhere online, or order it from your local store.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us today.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Joseph.
Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.